Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil Advocates Radio Show, the Thank God It's Friday, Let's Air Some Grievances edition. And for those watching on the live streams, you know, we do stream this. If you like us visually, you can see us. Yeah, I'm wearing a cardigan. What are you gonna do about it? Felt like a cardigan day here in the upper Midwest. Welcome all across the nation. KGOE in Northern California, where it's nice, and the Emerald Triangle is the greenest of green. Welcome to our friends listening up in Minneapolis, 9:50 a.m. KTNF, and of course WCPT, 8:20 a.m. in Chicago, and all across the Devil's Advocates Radio Network here in Madison, Devil Radio 92.7 in the Shaw, 5:40 a.m. and 101 FM in Waukesha, Wisconsin. So we welcome you all, and I think WADR as well in Progressive Voices Lair tonight. If you can hear my voice, welcome. Hope you like the cardigan, and hope you like the big show. And I've got Evan today, and I'm going to have Dominic joining me later in the 5 o'clock. Happy hour. I'm sure he'll have some grievances. And you can always air yours here at 844-967-2789. But I got a fine guest, and the timing impeccable. James Hentel, former U.S. attorney. And when we do the legal stuff around here, Jim's the guy you want to hear it from. Not so much me, maybe Evan, but mostly James Hentel. So Jimmy's joining us. He's bringing the cannolis. We're talking about Joe Biden has chosen a justice. Actually, we've got sound from the president. And, you know, I know there's the whole little thing going on in the Ukraine, and we'll get to that. But for just a moment, let's set that aside. Let's honor a historic moment. Let's hear the President of the United States introducing his new nominee to be Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. Here's what he had to say. Cut number 20, if you would, Evan.
Judge Jackson deserves to be confirmed as the next Justice of the Supreme Court. I've met with the chairman and ranking members of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Senator Dick Durbin, Senator Chuck Grassley. And my hope is that they will move promptly, and I know they'll move fairly.
Let's keep going. More from the President, Joe Biden, his new nominee.
I'm pleased to nominate Judge Jackson, who will bring extraordinary qualifications, deep experience and intellect, and a rigorous judicial record to the court.
More from Joe Biden.
For too long, our government, our courts, haven't looked like America. And I believe it's time that we have a court that reflects the full talents and greatness of our nation.
And the preservation of freedom, I have
today. As we watch freedom and liberty under attack abroad, I'm here to fulfill my responsibilities under the Constitution to preserve freedom and liberty here in the United States of America.
And one more, President Joe Biden, his new nominee for the U.S. Supreme Court, played for the people. Cut 24, please.
My nominee for the United States Supreme Court is Judge Ketanji Jackson.
Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson is an extremely qualified public servant with a distinguished experience as a federal judge, and her historic nomination promises an end to the erasure of black women from our most sacred legal institutions. She brings extensive litigation experience at every level of the federal court system, including distinguished service as a
federal public, federal public defender. I think that will certainly be the first time in the history a public defender has been nominated to the court. But, you know, James Santel, smarter than I, he'll correct me if I'm wrong. As a district court judge, she ruled on over 550 cases and is renowned for her careful, methodical approach to ensuring equal justice under the law on reproductive rights, disability rights, and workers' rights. Frankly, this is a nomination that should unite the country. Diversity strengthens the integrity of the institution to the broader public, and in particular, the many Black women who face many of the harshest injustices of our system today. It's critical for the U.S. Supreme Court to understand the impact of its rulings in the real world, and it can't do that until it reflects the country. It governs. Pardon me, I should have read that all as one sentence. Jackson will move us closer to a more fair and just system for women, for Black Americans, and for everyone on the side of equality before the law. It is incumbent upon U.S. senators to give her a fair and timely confirmation without obstruction, honoring her constitutional duty to advise and consent, and their moral duty to treat her with respect and the dignity she deserves. Now, that was written by Fatima Goss Graves. She is the president and CEO of the National Women's Law Center. Once again, Joe Biden, he rolled out his nominee. And I would expect, predicated on her record and the fact that she went through recent Senate confirmation with the support of three Republicans, hard to take it back now. Hard to say she's not qualified. Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, perhaps soon to be Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, is Joe Biden's nominee. So there's that news today. And then there's the whole Ukraine thing. Oof. And sometimes around here, we wonder, you know, what's the worst that could happen? I've asked that aloud on the radio. And you can tell me, you can, you know, be a part. 844-967-2789. What's the worst that could happen? It seems a lot worse than it has a few times in the past when I asked this question. You know, I never really contemplated World War III as an option. Had you? I mean, when's the last time you were worried about being pulled into some sort of world war? It's been a while. You know, I thought the Cold War had ended some number of years ago. Now, we've been pulled into some oil wars and some wars of choice, and I'm not really down for those sort of wars. I'm certainly not down for World War III. Don't want to get ahead of ourselves. I don't want to get over my skis. I'm not down for the next war. But I'm very worried about the escalation, the slow escalation or the rapid escalation, what could happen. Now, I would point out, early reports I'm hearing, and I'm no expert, I'm not a foreign policy guy, but early reports I'm hearing is that Russia is blocking Facebook. Blocking Facebook. Well, why do you block Facebook? Because Facebook is acting as a platform of dissent. Pardon me. And they don't want dissent. And I've understood only through the, you know, reporting about others that Putin was actually a little shocked by the fact he got dissent. There were definitely protesters. There were definitely Russians pushing back against this Ukrainian invasion. Almost like they didn't want their dictator to go do this in their names. And there were many arrests. 1,700, I think the initial number I'd heard. Arrest. And they had pre-warned the people of Russia, you may not protest. Well, apparently, you know, the invasion of Ukraine just got a few too many thumbs down. Because I also understand Russia is trying to block Facebook. And by extension, I guess, opposition to this very aggressive act, this, let's call it a Hitler-like act. Although I know, you know, they don't call it that over in the Republican quarters. I want to start here with a story. Putin's invasion of Ukraine is a fantasy fulfilled for Trump supporters. Now, this is not Crudy saying it. I am going to quote a source. in the deep dive into the wellspring of support in the U.S. for Russian President Vladimir Putin's decision to invade Ukraine, one expert on digital platforms suggested that some supporters of Donald Trump have found a new hero in the Russian straw man who mirrors their belief that might makes right. They admire that. You know what I'm saying? With some Republicans furious with the former president for praising Putin as he invades the neighboring country, some of the voters they will be counting on in the midterm elections, they're cheering on the invasion. The rank and file, you know, the it was rigged, we got to overturn the election sorts. They're kind of down with this. They think, oh, man, you want it, you take it. According to New York Times reporter Davey Alba and Stuart Thompson, social media commentary on Ukraine is revealing a new front in the culture wars that Trump inflamed during his 4 years in office and the year after he was voted out. Was he rigged? Noting Trump calling Putin's invasion pretty smart, the report points out that his comments lit up social media platforms where the former president's most rabid fans, well, they congregate there. Right-wing commentators, including Candace Owens, Stu Peters, and Joe Altman, also jumped into the fray online with posts that were favorable to Mr. Putin and that rationalized his actions against Ukraine. I'll stand on the side of Russia right now, said Altman, O-L-T-M-A-N-N. The online conversations reflect how pro-Russia sentiment has increasingly penetrated Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, right-wing podcasts, and messaging apps like Telegram, and some conservative media. As the Russia, you know, the Russia attacked Ukraine this week, those views spread, infusing the online discourse with war, with sympathy and even approval for the aggressor. The positive Russia comments are an extension of the culture wars and the grievance politics that have animated the right in the United States in the past few years. In some circles, Mr. Putin carries a strongman appeal, viewed as someone who gets his way and does not let political correctness stop him. A little bit more here. One more quote if I can find it. Anyone who studies disinformation on the far right has seen the influence of Putin's investment take hold. This week, some QAnon followers said online that Mr. Putin's invasion of Ukraine was simply the next phase in the global war against sex traffickers. We'll talk more. More Devil's Advocates Radio. Come back.